Good morning, good morning. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, bringing you another message from God's Word. Yes, another old-time, old-fashioned gospel message from God's Word. And we are old-fashioned here at the old Trailblazer broadcast, but I've often said that we're not modern, but we are modern in this way. We are on the Internet now. We have Internet broadcasting of the old Trailblazer from 8:45 to 9 a.m. every morning, Monday through Friday, Central Standard Time. And we also have the Bible School of the Air and our worship service. I bring you God's message every Sunday from 11 to 12 Central Standard Time on the Internet, and you can pick us up there at www.wlno.com. That's our flagship station here in New Orleans, WLNO, and you can pick us up there. They call it streaming. We'll be streaming there every Sunday, every morning, 8:45 to 9 a.m. on Central Standard Time. And it'll be live on Sunday morning from 10 to 11 and 11 to 12. So if you would, if you have any need information on that, picking that up, call me or write me and I'll send you that information. But we're bringing you a series of messages. We're coming down to the close of it now on blood redemption. And we began yesterday looking at a fountain of cleansing. I want to speak to you this morning on that fountain, on that particular fountain. Did you know every sinner who's ever saved is washed in the blood? That's the fountain. First, what is the fountain? Second, how is this fountain of cleansing open? And then, who can come for cleansing? And then fourthly, some samples or examples of sinners being saved. Now, let's turn in our Bibles. I asked you in our last time, have your Bibles there. Let's turn to Zechariah 12:10. I hope you read it already. And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, and the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Now that's Zechariah 12:10 through 14. In this verse of scripture passage we just read, the old prophet Zechariah is giving us a picture of what's going to take place or what's going to happen when Jehovah gathers the Jews back to Jerusalem in the closing day of this age, just before the Lord comes back to earth again to reign. Now, I wish you'd listen. This is an interesting study. Folks want to know about these things. This is a prophetic picture of God's pouring out of his spirit of grace and supplication upon the Jews, which breaks them to repentance, sets them mourning for Christ, whom they rejected, whom they crucified, and sent back to heaven not wanted. When the spirit of grace is poured out upon these Jews in the last days, their hearts are open, and they come to see that Christ, the Christ that they rejected, is their Messiah. And then they will begin to mourn for him as one mourns for his firstborn. This is the heartfelt repentance and leads to the fountain of cleansing, which is the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as their revealed substitute, the revealed Savior and Lord. How we long to see that day approach, the end of this age. Oh, my friend, listen. Listen, my friend, listen. This is also a picture of how every sinner gets saved. Now, you want to know how a sinner gets saved? I wish you'd listen. He comes to the fountain for sin and for uncleanliness through the bitterness of repentance. There is no other way. God has opened to us a new and living way into the Holy of Holies by his shed blood, but God does not permit one single sinner to enter therein unless he comes repenting. You know what Luke 13 says there? Read the first five verses. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, the great old prophet John, the apostle John, and the forerunner there, he said, repent, repent, repent. That's what he told that bunch of hypocrites that came out there, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who are a picture of today's religious world. That's what we see on every hand. We do. And John the Baptist didn't bite his tongue. That's why I go forth. I don't bite my tongue to tell you God's word. No, sir. How? Why am I supposed to bite my tongue? Because some religious hierarchy don't like what I say. Listen, my friend, I'm bringing you God's word. I'm bringing you God's word day after day. That man comes to that fountain of cleanliness through the bitterness of repentance. If God has opened to us a new and living way into the holiest holies, but he didn't let one individual enter there unless he comes repentant. Now, again, this makes the devil mad. Oh, the devil doesn't like for me to talk about repentance. No, he gets all up on his high horse. We've been showing you day after day in this study what this fountain is as set forth in the Old Testament. In the types, in type through the death of the substitute and how it was fulfilled in the death of Christ on the cross and his resurrection and association, ascension back to the Father. Now, let me say right here. Now, you get this truth and hold to it. Would you perk up your ears and listen? I don't know where you're hearing me, what time of the morning. Some folks hear me way up there out of Cincinnati, way out there early in the morning. Some folks hear me later on in the day. But God has never had two ways of saving the sinner. God has always had only one way by which a sinner is saved, from Adam until the last man who ever goes to heaven, and from now until he comes again and winds this thing up. And that way is through the blood redemption in Christ. Someone wrote the other day and said, now listen, go back there during the law, folks were saved by the law. No individual has ever been saved by the law. You can't show me one verse in the scripture where a sinner's ever been saved by the law. It's always been by blood redemption. The Lord God of heaven has provided a fountain for cleansing, for sin and for uncleanness, for everyone who will come repenting and believing. Now, my friend, that's a great truth. This fountain is what? Christ. Christ. Knowing Christ. Christ is our salvation. God has no other way to cleanse a sinner from his sin and from his uncleanness except by the shed blood of the Son of God. And I tell my folks here, some of them won't come to the Lord. They won't trust the Lord. I say, how are you going to get saved? How are you going to come? What are you going to do? You tell me, folks. You folks in my radio audience out there, you tell me how you're going to get saved except through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it going to be through some traditions in your church? Some sprinkling you when you were born as a baby? That's not salvation. Somebody dips you in the creek somewhere and shouts and speaks in tongue over you? That's not salvation. That had not got anything to do with salvation, my friend. No, traditions of the church don't save you. Confessing your sin to the Pope don't save you. Kissing the Pope's toe don't save you. None of that. None of these high rollers that get on the radio and holler and scream all night. These charismatic preachers and commanding God to do this and commanding God to do that and have a big crowd and folks applauding. The other night I heard a worldwide, world-famed preacher preaching on the radio for a few minutes and the people applauded for him like he was a rock star. And I told my wife, I said, have you ever heard such a thing? They interrupted him several times to applaud for him. I wanted to throw up. My friend, what would John the Baptist done if those folks would have begun to applaud? He'd have said, ye generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? What would the Lord Jesus done if he fed the 5,000 out there and brought that gracious message on the Beatitudes, if they'd have stood up and give him a standing ovation? My friend, this world is going to hell in a handbasket, my friend. We better wake up. I tell you out there this morning, you better wake up. Listen, when our world-famous evangelists are going off on a crusade somewhere and don't know the difference in salvation than a hog does a side saddle, we better wake up. We better wake up, folks. We don't need to know who the president's going to be. That's not important. We don't need to take a bullhorn and go out and fight against abortion. We don't need to do that. No, those children who are aborted, they go straight on into heaven, my friend. They're better off than you are. You're on the road to hell. But listen, what we need is some old-time, hard-down preaching. Repent, repent, repent or perish, folks, like John the Baptist said. That's right, repent. We need that, my friend. We need. Are you saved? My brother, are you saved? My brother out there in your 18-wheeler, are you saved? My sister out there making biscuits, getting ready for your family to get off to school or off to work, are you saved? You folks here in New Orleans and metropolitan area who tell me you listen to me when I see you, are you saved? Are you just religious? Do you know the Lord? Are you ready to meet the Lord? If the Lord would call you today, are you ready to go meet him? Are you just a church member in some brother so-and-so's church out here across the river where they got 10,000 members and a painted stained glass windows and all those things? That's not salvation, my friend. Salvation is knowing the Lord. Salvation is being dipped in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and having your sins washed away. Time after time after time, I have sat here and brought you this message that Christ died for sinners. Yes, he does, but he doesn't save anyone in their sin. He saves you. He saves from sin. The old trailblazers are so burdened for you, my friend. Don't call me a crackpot. I'm here bringing you God's message. How is a sinner saved? By the blood. What is your hope today? Did you know every individual who's ever born into this life must have a substitute? He does. He does. But God has provided that substitute, but you won't have it. You'd rather have your own way. You'd rather stay at the honky-tonks all night long, get up bleary-eyed, go out to work, come back in, go out again tonight, have your fun, or you'd rather shack up somewhere there in some illegitimate marriage. You'd rather have that, or you'd rather have a self-righteous religion where you're proud of who you are. Proud, I'm Dr. So-and-so's member. I joined the church under Dr. So-and-so over here somewhere. Listen, folks, you know what salvation is? It's knowing the Christ. It's knowing the Lord. It's knowing him in the reality. It's not being religious. You know what religion is? That's someone's opinion. That's all. Everybody has religion. They got 126 religions in the United States, I believe I read the other day. Oh, listen, folks. The Buddhists have religion. The Muslims have religion. The Mohammedans have religion. All of those. But they serve a false God. They serve a dead God. But listen, my friend. You and I, who have been sat under the truth all of these years, and we know that Christ died for sinners. He's a living reality to the old trailblazer's heart. I bring you, thus saith the Lord. I'm not bringing you a program or some kind of video movie for you to watch and then get you to come down to the front, shake my hand, join this church. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do anything but trust the Lord. And in doing that, you come to know him as Christ, as your Lord and your Savior. You give him all the honor and all the glory, and you'll be repenting every day of your life. From this day forward, when the Lord saves you, you'll always be repenting. Now, my friend, listen. The Bible says there are few going to be saved. Are you going to be one of that few? Are you going to be there, Pastor, with your congregation when the books are open and the other books are open, and they're going to call your name? And he said, no. His name not in this book. What about his congregation? No, they're not in here either. And that congregation's going to rail on you, Pastor, for not being true to them. I'm being true to my folks. I'm being true to you. Your blood's not going to be on my hand. No, sirree. Your blood's not going to be on the old trailblazer's hand, because I'm bringing you, thus saith the Lord. I might butcher the King's English up pretty well, but I'm bringing you what the Lord said. He says, repent or perish. And I'm telling you that this morning, to repent. To repent. You say, what is that? Taking the blame, giving God all the glory, taking the blame for your old hellishness, for your old sinfulness, the old lust, the old pleasure that you love. You love it. You love this present evil world for being a sinner all your life. Did you know you're a sinner? You sin because you're a sinner. You love sin because you're a sinner. But there's a remedy. The Lord has provided a substitute, a sacrifice, a blood offering. Yes, that's right. And blood's been sprinkled there on the doorpost of your home. Listen, my friend, have you ever come to know the Lord? You say, can a sinner know the Lord? Yes, sir, he can. How so? In repentance. Come repenting, turning to the Lord, asking the Lord to open your heart. I don't want you to join this church. I don't want you to join anything. You don't have to join any church to be saved. You just ask the Lord to save you, to open your eyes and let you see what a sinner you are, and then grant you repentance. This is the old trailblazer. I wish I had another hour this morning. Just getting warmed up good. But remember, my mailing address is the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. I wish you'd help me with the broadcast, if you would. I appreciate it. Send me a generous offering to help me stay on this great radio station. Would you do that? Goodbye, and God bless you.